in 2 Kings chapter number 18, and then 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. 2 Kings chapter number 18, and 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. Had this thought stirring on my heart the last few days, and maybe a little different this morning. I'm not going to read any verses as far as in the time of reading from 2 Chronicles 29, but I want you to keep your place there. We'll look there, the Lord willing, through after we read and through the service this morning. But I want to read from 2 Kings chapter number 18. And you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. As I said, I'm not going to read anything at this time from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to read a few verses in 2 Kings chapter number 18, but I want to just kind of a little different this morning, but this is the way I feel led to do. There's some verses in the preceding chapters of before 2 Kings chapter 18. I want to read some verses. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to skip around a whole lot, but I want to read it just to set the ground for the thought that the Lord has stirred in my heart for this morning. I want to read a few verses in the preceding chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, and then we'll read from 2 Kings chapter 18. Just listen this morning. In 2 Kings 13 and verses 1 and 2, in the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 17 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefrom. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, but he walked therein. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadai, to reign over Israel, and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Then in chapter 18 and verse 1, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images, and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I know we read a lot of verses from a lot of different places, and it may have seemed a little scattered to you this morning, but I felt led to read those and then read what we read in 2 Kings chapter 18 about Hezekiah. All of those kings that were read about, and a lot of names that we don't know how to pronounce and we don't know much about them, but the emphasis that I hope that you got this morning was the fact that all of them did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then we come to chapter 18, and we read about this man by the name of Hezekiah, who's 25 years old, and he becomes a king in Israel, and the Bible said he did right in the sight of God. And the Lord began to deal with my heart, and I'm not preaching on occasion, but I'm preaching cause this is what the Lord began to stir in me a couple of days ago. But here we are in a new year, and many people, as already been said in the Sunday school hour, have made resolutions, and they have decided within themselves that things are going to be different in this year than they were in the years gone by, and they're going to do things they never did and not do things that they have done. And as was already said, many of those resolutions, many of those good intentions, maybe some of them are already out the wind. They're not lasted. And maybe some of them will last to the end of the month, or maybe a month or two. But the Lord began to work in my heart, and He began to stir in me about all these kings that did evil. It seemed like just one after another, after another, after another. And in reality, if you study the Scripture, it began all the way back some 250 years ago when Solomon, in the latter days of his life, loved many strange women, and they turned his heart after other gods, and the kingdom of Israel and the rulers of the land went down the drain from the end of his reign until now. There have been a few along the journey that did right in the sight of God, but their rulership was short-lived. It's a day of iniquity and idolatry in the land of Israel. And it seemed to me, as I read in God, it began to stir in my heart that just bad news after bad news after bad news. This man did evil, and that man did evil, and the next one did evil. It went so far as to say that some of them, I read one of them into your hearing, made their children to pass through the fire. They sacrificed their own children to heathen gods. And it was common practice in the land where the people of God were dwelling in. And here comes this man Hezekiah that rules and reigns over Israel, and the Bible said that he does that's right in the sight of God. Now the Lord began, I'm just going to preach how it's on my heart this morning, and I may have to look at some verses that's just not normal for me, but I'm just going to try to preach however the Lord leads me to. But I thought in all the land of Israel, I know the majority of them had went wrong, and it went astray and was serving other gods. But there, it could not be. There still had to be some that were in the land that still desired what it was like in the old days, when the power of God was strong, when the people served God and worshiped Him, and God's blessings poured out. But as day after day, and month after month, and year after year went by, the same old thing. The next king come along and he was wicked. And the next one come and he was evil. And the next one come and nothing changed. As a matter of fact, if you read the scripture, I didn't read about those that came before Hezekiah that did right, because the Bible said that they may have done right in the sight of God, but they didn't remove the groves or the high places that were not torn down. In other words, their own life might have been good, their actions, but they didn't make a change or a difference in the lives of the people of God. And it seemed like the people that really wanted it, if there were some, and I'm inclined to believe by the direction of the Spirit of God in my heart, that there were some that still wanted truth and right. I mean, it seemed like the same old thing, time and time again, year in and year out, more and more and more iniquity and evil. And they followed as the king before Hezekiah died, which was his father who had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And Hezekiah becomes king and takes his position on the throne and begins to rule and reign. I think inside the minds of some of the people of God, and I want to preach this morning, God would be my helper just on this simple thought. Will this time be any different? Will this time be any different? We roll around 2020, come through a year that's been filled with confusion, chaos, turmoil, and difficulty. The clocks roll around, the calendar has rolled by on the 2021. And I wonder this morning, in your heart, in your life, in your daily walk with God, will it be any different for you in 2021 than it was in 2020? There are a whole lot of people I thought we was gathered together, and I thank God for the good service. And I'm just going to try to preach this morning because this is what's on my heart. And I think it'll probably hit every one of us this morning, we'd be honest. But we gathered together on Thursday night, thank God for the help. But you know, I thought and had thoughts in my heart that night. I wasn't just doing it to make a show, but my heart was pulled stronger and harder for somebody to get help than it has in a long time. And as far as I know, whoever it was walked out of the building without the help they needed. But God was offering it. And maybe you went home and said, Lord, if you deal with my heart like that again, if you pull on me again, I'll do things different this year than I did last year. Will you really? Will this year be any different? How many times in the... Now I'm just preaching this morning what's on my heart. How many times in 2020 did the Lord come where you are? And I've preached on it, and the Lord has directed my heart to say things about it numerous times. And I don't want to sound like a broken record or ride a horse into the ground, but I feel compelled to say it again. How many times has the Lord stirred you to say something, or to stand to your feet and thank Him for saving you, or to testify about His goodness and His grace? But inside of you, some excuse was made about maybe who was here, who wasn't here, or what you'd say, what you couldn't say, or what somebody would think or not think. And you vowed a vow to God and said, Lord, it'll be different this year. Will it really be any different for you? I think every child of God that goes in. I mean, here we are. I thought my thoughts had been real scattered and random, but the Lord has looked in them and tried to tie them in my heart this week, and I thank Him for it. But I thought, you know, here we are at the end. I believe times are drawing nigh to a close. It's just about over. If there's ever a time that our lives ought to count for God, it's in these days we're living in. But there's going to have to be some changes made. It's going to have to be a little different for us. Will it be any different? Oh, it sure was different. I told you to hold your place in 2 Chronicles 29. It sure was a lot different when Hezekiah came to power. It sure was a lot different. I thought about when Hezekiah, and I'm just kind of reading between the lines and preaching hats on my heart. But I thought when Hezekiah come to power, those that had been around and saw the other kings that tried to do right in the sight of God, and nothing really came of it, nothing was accomplished. I thought maybe them people were told and said, well, he'll last for a little while, but he'll eventually fizzle out. He might purpose in his heart to do good, but the people will never follow. Nothing will ever change. I wonder about you this morning. Maybe it's not so much about what needs to change in your life, but maybe you're down and out and discouraged. I know there ought to be probably some changes in all of our lives. Somebody said we need to live closer to God, and that's exactly right, and we do, and we can. We can have as much of the power of God as we want to. The question is, how much do we want it? But I wonder, maybe the circumstances of the days have rolled in around you. And we're living in days where I've heard it preached, and I tried several weeks ago by the help of the Lord to preach about the fact that these perilous times, these last days that we're living in, it's not a sentence of execution on the church. It does not mean it's over. It does not mean it's not worth it. It does not mean it's not, there's no cause for it, or there's no use. It ought to be a source of strength to know that we're just about out of here. Everything just about over, and we ought to be in business for God like we never have before. But I wonder if maybe we, or some of us, or like some of them in the land of Israel, and thought, well, they can try, I can try, but there's just no use in these days. I wonder if that's what they thought about Hezekiah. When Hezekiah took power as a 25-year-old young man, and he began to say, we're going to do some things different around the house of God and in the land of Israel. And maybe they thought, well, he can try, but there just ain't no use. I wonder if deep down inside you, as was taught in Sunday school this morning about our flesh, maybe there's something in you that wants to try. There's something down inside your spiritual man that's been encouraged and stirred and helped by the services. Whether Thursday night or days ago, or whatever it is, the power of God has been working inside you. But that outward man's trying to convince you it won't last. But there's no use, there's no point. It'll never change. I'm telling you, this year can be different. They said there's no use. But if I read my Bible correctly, and I'm carrying this Scofield Bible I've had for a long time this morning, because I'd studied about Hezekiah in this scripture before out of this Bible, and it wrote some things that I like. The heading over verse number 3 in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, the heading says, the revival under Hezekiah. They said there's no use. They said there's no point. They said it'll never last. They said things will never change. But by the time you get done reading, I would be convinced to agree that there was revival in Hezekiah's day. I'm going to tell you, there can be revival in our day. I thought about what Hezekiah did. If you look at the scripture this morning, in verse number 3, the first thing he did, the Bible said in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of God. He fixed the doors. There's a problem. The doors have been
been shut, and they've been shut way too long. And the Lord began to deal in my heart, and it's probably familiar to you, and we've heard it so many times, but I thought about the Laodicean age we're living in. The problem is with the door, that the door's been shut on God, and He's shut on the outside. But He said, if any man hear my voice, I'm standing at the door knocking. If he'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And there's a problem with the doors, that it can be opened in this day. He repaired the doors. Then he realized, you just go home and read it today if you have time. In 2 Chronicles 29, he realized that there was dirtiness in the house of God that needed to be cleaned out. And so he began to purge the house of God. And I'm amazed he didn't start on the porch out there where everybody could see and make it pretty. But he called the Levites together. And he said, now you men have been given charge to keep the house of God and to serve Him in the offerings and the sacrifices. And he said, I'm giving you a charge to cleanse the house of God. And the Bible said they went to the inward part and started there and worked their way out. I'm telling you in this day, the reason people's resolutions don't last is because they're superficial. They got something to do with the outside. What everybody sees. They want people to boast and brag. And if that's all you're interested in, I can't help you this morning. But I'm telling you, if it'll start way down deep on the inside, it may not be too bad, but it's bad enough. And we need some help from God to get some things out of the closet, to clean out the cobwebs. Somebody said, and I'm not trying to be funny, but it is true. I heard an old preacher say, he's preaching the Bible, and a woman come and got down the altar. They got around you, and they could hear her say, Lord, clean the cobwebs out of my life. And as she went back to see the priest again, the next night she come again. I prayed the same prayer, Lord, I cleaned the cobwebs out of my life. About 4 nights went by, and on Friday night she come again, saying the same thing. And the old preacher, full of wisdom, and by direction of God, got down the altar beside her and said, Lord, don't worry about the cobwebs. Stop the spider. And that's exactly right. We're fixing all the outside, so it looks good for everybody to see. But what about the root of the problem? What about what really matters? It's time to clean us out again. Amen. Many people around the New Year's, they get a good cleaning. But the problem with the cleaning is they go in the closet where nobody can see what they're doing and nobody can see what they got. And they get all that stuff out of the closet and they put it in a box. And instead of taking it to the trash, they set it over in the corner where nobody don't know anything about it. And about 6 months go by and they go back to the box and drag it out again. That's not what Hezekiah told them to do. And that's not what they did. The Bible said, you read it in chapter 29. They swept the darkness out of the house of God, and they carried it to the brook, and they dumped it in the water. And down the brook, kindred, she went, and never to be brought in again. I'm telling you, there's some people of God that need to have a good house cleaning, and a good river dumping, and dump it in the water, and let the Holy Ghost take it, and never go back on it again. But the problem in our modern day Baptist churches is that we got a lot of people in the church that got these little petty sins and things that the world may not think too bad, and I may not think too bad, but I'm telling you, I'm not the judge. Just like I was taught this morning, it's not my job to judge you and not yours to judge me. But I'm going to tell you, there's a righteous judge that's sitting on the throne of heaven, and he don't categorize your sin. Be it big or little, don't matter to him. If he's got his finger on it in your heart, it needs to be God out. It's coming between you and him. Amen. And it'll be the thing that'll hold it up from being any different. Oh, all them other kings, they've come along and they've tried to do right. And I'm not preaching mean-spirited or hard-hearted this morning. I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm just trying to preach from my heart to your heart. In the reality that I thank God for what He's done. I meant what I said on Thursday night. We can dwell on the negativity all we want to. We can fall in line with the rest of the crowd that says nothing good came out of 2020. But we've seen revival in the church. We've seen souls get saved. We've seen folks get help. But they don't drop in the bucket of what God can do. If we just get our lives right, make our hearts the room for Him, and let Him move in deeper in this day. All them other kings have tried to do right, but they had never cleaned nothing up. They never had opened the doors. They never had fixed the problem. They never had done anything about the dirtiness in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, I read something the other day just in passing, and God brought it back to my mind just now. We focus on all the things about being broken. I know there are circumstances and situations in our life that may break our vessel. But I got good news. God can use a broken vessel. He does it all the time. But He can't use a dirty one. We need some dirtiness cleaned out of us. Hezekiah didn't just repair the doors, and he didn't just clean out the dirtiness. But old Hezekiah realized how desperate they were for the move of God in that day. Now I'm going to tell you, it don't take long looking around at our nation, the shape she's in, at our churches and the shape they're in, at sinners and the shape they're in. It seems like they're unaffected and nothing works in this day. And the problem is we've forsaken the right way. We've refused to walk in the old paths. In Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah preached, and he said, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, you shall find rest for your soul." But the Bible said the people said, "We will not walk therein." We're in desperate need of the power of God in this day. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll get the doors right, and if we'll get the dirt in, we don't have, we got all these problems and situations and circumstances that need to be fixed, but I'm going to tell you what, we just about in our day got God in some box and say that He can do this, but He can't do that. He can work here, but He can't work there. I'm going to tell you, God ain't never had no trouble doing His end of the part. He can do whatever He needs to do, and if we'll get our part right, God will come through on His end. It wasn't just, if you read 2 Chronicles 29, I'm about done this morning. If you read in that scripture there, there wasn't just revival, but there was some restoration that went on in Hezekiah's day. It had been a long time, and I got to reading it again last night, and the Lord began to deal with my heart, just in me personally. In verse number 20, after all these things have happened, they began in verse 16 what I talked about. They went into the inner part to cleanse it. They brought all the filth, the uncleanness out. They took it in verse 16 to carry it abroad into the brook Kidron. And then they worked their way from the inside out to the porch. In verse 18, they restored all the vessels in verse 19. But then I got to thinking about, after revival has taken place, the work of God has begun in the lives of Hezekiah and the people of Israel. Then there are some things that get restored that have not been there in a long, long time. In verse number 20, this is what the Bible said. "Then Hezekiah the king rose early, and he gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and He said, it had been a long time in the land of Israel since the king couldn't wait to get to the house of God. There's a stirring inside him to get where God was." Now I wonder this morning, on January the 3rd, the first Sunday of 2021, I wonder how long it's been since they've been a stirring inside your soul to get up and get with God. Whether it's in your prayer place at home, I hope you got one. If you ain't, that's part of the problem. You need to get one. or whether it's coming into the house of God. David said, I was glad I thought about what Brother Brandon preached on Thursday night as he started before he read his scripture about these days that we've lived through and taking the house of God for granted, how that when it was time to gather together, he knew a little bit more about that scripture. And I remember we was talking about it. We didn't have to be outside long, but it's long enough. I appreciate how God met with us, and he did at my house and in the back lawn. I thank God for it. But I'm telling you, when we got to come back in, I realized a little bit more about the reality of that verse, that I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. But I have to admit, and I'll have to confess, and if you'd be honest, it'd be true with you. I remember that May morning, I think it was in May, that I got up out of bed on that Sunday morning. I knew that it was going to be the first Sunday to go back in the house of God. Yet I'm glad he didn't meet outside the building, but I'm glad for this place he's given to us. There's something special about coming in the house of God. And there's a joy and an excitement and a thrill stirring in me, and I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. But if I'd be honest, between May and January, there'd been some waxing and waning inside my spirit, and it ain't been every morning like it ought to be, that I get up with a stirring in me, and I want to be in the house of God. Right. How about you? I wonder if you got up this morning, and then deep down inside you, you're stirring inside to get to the house of God. I wonder when tomorrow morning rolls around, and it's not time to come to the house of God. It's time to get up and go back to work after the busyness of all that's went on. I wonder if there'll be a stirring in you to find a few minutes to get on with God before you begin your day. Will it be any different than it has been? See, the reality of our day, the reality of our age is the same reality. It might not be, as far as within the church, as far as we would look at it, it might not be as bad as what we've read about these wicked kings and all the things that they did. But what I'm trying to preach this morning, what's on my heart, is they've just got in a rut. It was the same old, day in and day out. And that's the trouble in the church world today among the people of God. It's the same old, day in and day out. And God needs to work in us. We need some things restored. That stirring within us. Then I thought about verse number 27. The Bible said, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. I thought the Lord spoke to my heart and said, son, it'd been a long time since that song had been heard quite like that. And I wonder, in these days we're living in, I thought about when Israel was carried captive into Babylon. It said, by the rivers we sat down there. We sat down and wept and hung our harps on the willows and said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And you and I are living in a strange land. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And I wonder when the last time, and I'm not talking necessarily, you got to understand, I ain't talking about cracking open this old redback book right here and just going through the motions and saying the words and singing on key and in tune. But I wonder when the last time we've sung the Lord's song is. I wonder when the last time we've opened the book and begun to sing and realize that just a few words in that maybe we weren't on time and we was off key, but there's something inside the words that was resonating in our soul, and we realized he was, we weren't just saying he's the dearest friend, but we realized how many times he has been the dearest friend we've ever had. Oh, we weren't just singing, I want to know more about my Jesus, but something inside us was crying out, oh Lord, teach me more about you. Yes, sir, think that's something in the church world as a whole, that needs some restoration. See, that word restore don't mean to give something new. It means to take the old and make it new again. I thought about where I work sometimes part-time at the garage there. They bring in these old automobiles that people probably don't really see any good in. They don't see any worth in. They don't look very good. But by the time all of this work goes into it, all the effort, we can take the old and make it look new again. They didn't sing no new songs. The Lord just took the old and made it new again in their heart. Now I'm telling you, in 2021, there are going to be a lot of people that will claim we need some new method and some new message and some new men. We don't need any of that. We just need some restoration of the Lord taking the old way and making it new to us again. Taking what He's done in the past and making it fresh. Taking the Word of God again and make that new. Like what was said in the Sunday school there, it's alive. You can get more out of it. It's not been exhausted. Never will be. God, make it new again for us. Some restoration. And I thought about in verse 31, verse 29 and 31, the Bible talked about the end of offering the king, not just all the people, but the king himself and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And in verse 31 it said, in the end of verse, and the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. There was some sincerity that was restored in the hearts of the people. They wanted to be in the house of God. They wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to do. It wasn't just out of duty. It wasn't just out of order. It wasn't just out of routine. But they had a desire in their heart to be there. Do we have a desire in our heart to be here this morning? To do what we're doing? And I thought, and the Lord began to speak to my heart, and I'm done this morning. In verse 36, it says, and Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people. And I thought, you know, there's a whole lot of people want the rejoicing part. But rejoicing didn't come till after the revival and after the restoration. The problem with us in these days, and I'm saying us, all of us, is we want in on the rejoicing part, but we don't know too much about the reviving and the restoring. We want to rejoice in what God's done, but we don't know so much about going deep within and cleaning out what needs to be cleaned. But the rejoicing will not come until after we do our part. And I thought about this scripture here in verse 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Oh, there's a lot of effort and a lot of preparation. All these verses, this cleansing, it didn't happen overnight. This restoring didn't happen overnight. But when they got their part done, it was like God was just awaiting to do His part. I'm going to tell you, seated yonder on the throne of heaven sits a God who's just ready and waiting to do His part. If we'll do ours. I thought about a statement that Brother Hanley Milby made about true revival. And he said that true revival, when it breaks forth after all the preparation, after all the prayers, after all the cleansing, and after all the things that have been done on the parts of the people led by the Spirit of God, when all that gets accomplished, he said true revival comes in like a sudden flood without warning. And overtakes the people of God. I'm going to tell you, we can experience that in 2021. God is still the same God He's always been. He's still in the same business He's always been in. Still has as much power as He's ever had. And we can rejoice we can rejoice. Amidst all the things that are going on, we can rejoice. But we need revival. And we need restoration. You say, preacher, we're in the last days. We don't have very long. I thought about in verse number 1 and I'm done. Hezekiah was 25 when he began to reign. He reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. 29 years, not very much compared to some of the others. But then I thought about what Ezra said, for a little space, grace hath been showed unto us to give us a little reviving. We may not have much longer left. I don't know how long we got. I'm not no date setter. The Lord only knows. If this thing may go on 50 more years, I'm inclined to believe probably not. But regardless of how long or how little we have, there's still revival for us in these days. I just wonder, deep down on the inside, as people all over the land make these resolutions and they're self-made, what I mean by that is that they're trying to set a goal that they can accomplish in their own power. What I'm talking about this morning can't be accomplished in our own power. But Hezekiah came to power, and his name means Jehovah is my strength. He leaned on God. The Bible said he trusted in the Lord, and then that verse in 2 Kings 18 said he clave to Him. We're going to have to, in these days, cleave to God and lean on Him. And what I'm talking about this morning is not something that can be self-made. It's not something that's just superficial, just to work on the outside. It's not something for selfish means to get our glory or be boasted or bragged upon ourselves. If that's all the resolutions we got, I'm afraid to say this year probably won't be any different. But if deep down on the inside there's a spark of desire to want more than we had yesteryear, to want to see more, and I'm not belittling. I'm going to tell you, I know 2020 may have been a tough year, but God done some amazing things in our midst, and I thank Him for it. But I'm going to tell you, 2021 can be even better. There's more to be had. There's greater power. There's a greater presence. The reality of that song that we sing and talk about, hand in hand we walk each day, it can be a reality even in these days. Do you want it? Do you want 2021 to be any different from any other year? How is it in your heart this morning? What's your desire of the things of God? As we stand all over the house, I'm done. I don't know if you need to come. That's between you and the Lord.